one of the most prolific serial killers of our time, John Wayne Gacy. She can add insight from her perspective as an attorney who defended him during the death sentence appeal. She's coming up to tell her story on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Welcome to the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. In the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show, we are joined by special guests talking about their experiences, the realities of investigating crimes, plus those who have experienced horrendous trauma. Police, first responders, military, and victims of crime share their stories. Hi, I'm John J. Wiley. In addition to being a broadcaster, I'm also a retired police sergeant. Be sure to check out our website, letradio.com, and also like us on Facebook. Search for the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Remember when news was free? Be sure to check out the Newsbreak app. It's free. And be sure to follow the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast on the Newsbreak app. Newsbreak is your number one local news app for current events. Free live news for you and your community. Download the Newsbreak app today for free. And be sure to follow the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast on the Newsbreak app. That's the free Newsbreak app. Be sure to look for and follow the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast. Joining us on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show, we have Karen Conti, prominent Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team. John Wayne Gacy, one of the most prolific serial killers of our time in America. Author of the book, Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer, and a practicing attorney. Her website's ContiDolanLaw.com. Oh, but wait, there's more. She's also host of the Karen Conti Radio Show on a prominent radio station covering the Upper Midwest. Karen, where do you find time to get it all done?
I wake up early and I go to bed late.
That seems to be the secret, right?
That's right. There's only so many hours in a day, John, and I try to use them productively.
One of the things I did, and we'll get to your story in a moment, I started getting up. I used to get up at 6 a.m. Now I get up at 5:40 because I just wasn't getting everything done I needed to get done. And I worked till on the computer till like 5-6 o'clock at night. And then I try to wrap it up and just do stuff on the phone and spend time with my wife. But I'm always working and it's nonstop.
It's nonstop. And here's one other tip I learned. I have a recumbent bike. I get up at 5 or 4:45 and I do an hour on the bike and I'm going through my emails. I'm returning emails. I'm reading 3 newspapers because of all the commentary I do. So by the time I'm off the bike, I've already exercised and I've really kind of cleared out my day to start working in earnest. So that's a really good tip for your listeners.
And you reminded me of multitasking, something I'm not really good at. And how I met Karen, by the way, is through a lady named Julie Loken, who I'm friends with on Clubhouse, the drop-in social audio app, which is free. If you don't have it, download it today, Clubhouse social audio drop-in chat app, and look for me, John J. Wiley, or at LET Radio Show. Karen, it is a pleasure. I know that as a practicing attorney, time is really an issue for you. By the way, the website is ContiDolanLaw.com. That's spelled ContiDolanLaw.com. So multitasking. You start early in the morning, and I know a little bit of your story. You're on the bike. You work out hard to keep in good shape, which is a losing battle for a guy like me. And then you are, like, reading all kinds of news stuff just in case you are one of being called in to make commentary on some television news show.
Yeah, just, you know, having represented Gacy so many years ago, I got kind of used to being interviewed by radio and television, and a lot of the producers know me, and they know that I can kind of speak about different types of law, whether it's a Supreme Court decision, whether it's a crime that's already been committed, or some civil lawsuit, First Amendment issue, whatever, and I can weigh in on most of those issues, but you really do have to keep up to speed on it so that when you do get called, and that's 5 minutes you're on the air, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, and here's a little tip. By the way, Karen's very well prepared. If you get a shot to be on national television, do not go unprepared. If you get a shot to be in a nationally syndicated radio show, do not go unprepared. And one of the things about my show is it's just your story. There's no gotcha. I don't think I'm a 60 Minutes news correspondent. I'm not an investigative journalist. As a matter of fact, I did all my policing years ago. So it really is about their personal experience. And I got to get into your story. And I heard a little bit of it at an event called CreativeCon, which we'll talk about later on. You were a young lawyer fresh out of law school, and you heard about John Wayne Gacy appealing a death sentence, and you decided to get involved, didn't you?
Yeah, so when Gacy was committing his crimes, I was in high school. And flash ahead now, he's been convicted, he's got sentenced to death for killing 33 young men and boys and burying most of them under his house. And here I get the on the radio. I hear on the radio that he is going to be executed on May 10th, 1994. And I thought, gosh, I haven't heard that name in a long time. Wouldn't it be funny if I represented him? It was just a thought in my head. The very next day, I get a call from one of Gacy's people wanting me to go down to Menard Correctional Center, which is about 6.5 hours south from Chicago on the Mississippi, and talk to him about the possibility of representing him. So it was the strangest thing, and there I was in the car going down there to talk to one of the most evil serial killers in the history of the country.
Did you have any idea? Altruistic reasons why you did this and professional reasons why you did it aside, which we'll talk about later on. Did you have any idea what you were stepping into when you made that decision?
No, frankly, but I am a very curious person. And I thought to myself, I am not obligated to do anything. I don't have to take this case. If I don't want to take this case, I know that I've always been against the death penalty, even for somebody like Gacy. I don't think Gacy should be walking around loose amongst us, but I do not believe in the death penalty. But I just wanted to go down there and see what it was like. I had never been on death row. I had never looked evil in the eye, and I knew all about Gacy from all of the news accounts and books and movies that I had seen and read. How could I not? How could I pass up an opportunity to do that? That's all I thought.
One of the things that I really find enlightening is we don't get to hear from defense attorneys. And I want people to understand something. I don't have animosity towards Karen, not for defending John Wayne Gacy, not for being a defense attorney, not for any of that. Some of the best instructors I had in trial preparation and testimony were public defenders and defense attorneys. They taught me how to become very good at what I did. People love to think that we have a lot of animosity. I'll say this. You are not a Baltimore area drug lawyer. So I don't have a whole lot of respect for them as far as the really high level criminal attorneys. And that's not an area you specialize in now, do you?
No. Yeah. You know what I have to say about this? We are all part of the same system.
Right.
As a police officer, you did your investigation. Your goal is to put people behind bars who have done bad things. My job is to defend people so that they get the right person behind bars and they don't miss the people who are out there continuing to do these crimes. And I always say, I am just part of the system. If you do your job as a police officer, the judge is impartial. The jury follows jury instructions. The prosecutor does the right thing. And the defense lawyer is zealous in advocating for his client, then you know what? Justice usually gets done. And spoiler alert, you know, Gacy was executed. So
yeah.
People might say justice was done in that case, but I know that he got the best defense possible.
That's the key thing here. And there's a little thing called the United States Constitution. And part of it is, and I'm not a constitutional lawyer, I don't pretend to be one, I don't understand all the intricacies. I leave it to God and to attorneys and courts, to be honest with you. But one of the things is we're all entitled to a vigorous defense. And part of my thing is no matter how much I prepared as a police officer and no matter how much I thought or we had probable cause or whatever, we wanted people to have a fair trial. And I have no dispute whatsoever with what you did or what you continue to do.
And, you know, and even in my book, which is something that most people would be surprised about, not going to give up all the secrets, John, but one of the things that I found out from all the years of representing Gacy and looking over all of the documents is that Gacy had accomplices. Gacy had co-conspirators. And I think that some of those young men and boys who were buried under his house, he didn't actually kill those.
That's a great thought. We'll talk about that in a moment without giving spoiler alerts. We're talking with Karen Conti, Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team, also practicing attorney. Website is ContiDolanLaw.com. And go anywhere. We'll be right back. If you want to be a guest on the Law Enforcement Talk radio show, simply contact us. It couldn't be easier. You can send us a message on Facebook. Look for and like the Law Enforcement Talk radio show page or email jay@letradio.com. That's jay@letradio.com. During the conversation with Karen Conti on the Law Enforcement Talk radio show, Karen is a really, really busy person. And by the way, Karen, thank you for clearing out your calendar and spending time with us. She's a Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team, which we'll talk about in a moment. Her website is ContiDolanLaw.com. She's author of the book, Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer. And she's host of the Karen Conti radio show on a big radio station that covers most of the upper Midwest, including the Chicago area. That's a lot, Karen. And think of this, and I'm not saying this is a way of putting you down or anybody down. I'm sure when you were young out of law school and you think none of this was on your radar for the future, was it?
No, absolutely not. How could it be? You know, how could you ever imagine sitting there in high school or college or law school learning about the insanity defense that someday you might actually use that information in what you're doing for your living? So it's never something that is on your radar.
And there was a lot of negative that came back. And look, let's just be honest. Sometimes defense attorneys, and depending on what part of society, don't get a fair shot. There's a lot of negativity that goes along, and I'm not one of those people. I may jokingly say that there's no love lost, but that's a joke. Let's be honest, there have been district attorneys, assistant state's attorneys that I've gotten into knockdown, drag out arguments with that didn't want to prosecute cases. There was a lot of that went on in my career. So they didn't always have the most spectacular reputation. Let's just leave it at that.
Well, just put it this way. Listen, I was never trying to get Gacy out of prison. He does not belong. He does not deserve to walk amongst us with his type of illness, his type of psychopathy. So it was just about the death penalty. And it wasn't just about him. When you advocate for somebody who has the death penalty imposed, you're actually advocating for everybody on death row in your state and everybody on death row everywhere. Because if you can make some headway and you can make some arguments that get some traction, then you might be saving other people. And listen, Gacy didn't have the traditional arguments of actual innocence. How could he? He had 33 buried under his house. He was white, so there was no racism argument. And he had some of the best lawyers that Chicago has. I mean, he was not a person who got incompetent counsel. So we didn't have any of those traditional arguments, but the other defendants on death row had many of those arguments. So again, when you do this kind of thing, it's almost like you're representing a cause in addition to the defendant.
So you came into this very idealistic. And in some senses, I get the impression you are still idealistic, that you are still very much a believer that this needs to be done.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, we watched in Illinois, we had people on death row. We had 13 people exonerated over a 15-year period, and 12 were put to death. That's not a very good batting average. So then these were not just technicalities. These were actual innocent cases. So that led eventually, well after Gacy, to Illinois abolishing the death penalty. And as you see, the states right now, a lot of them are abolishing the death penalty, including Virginia, a state that's traditionally been very conservative when it comes to law enforcement and criminal justice. And you're seeing that the death penalty is just not being used as much. And I think that's a result of people just saying, you know what, it's not really effective. It doesn't deter people. It costs more to execute somebody and have them go through the capital punishment phases of trial and appeals than it does just to put them away for life. And a lot of victims' families now are saying, you know what, put him in jail, throw away the key. I don't want to see his face on the news every time for 14 years. And people are okay with that. So I think the death penalty is falling out of favor. I'm not sure I did anything for that cause, but it's been an interesting ride.
So John Wayne Gacy, for those who are not familiar, or you go, oh, that rings a bell, but I'm not sure. Wasn't he a prominent society figure with politics in that area and known for dressing up as a clown?
That's correct. He was a contractor, and he built all kinds of franchises, and he did home remodeling. He was very successful. His income back then, if you translate it into today's dollars, was about $400,000 a year. And he was very successful. His neighbors loved him. He was in politics. He served on different committees. He dressed up as a clown to entertain children. And everyone liked him. And when he was caught and all of those bodies were taken out of that suburban, nice, trim, you know, neat house, people were stunned. They were shocked. And if you look back, the signs were all there. All of them were there. But people ignored it because of who he was.
And part of the thing for me, and I know my mind doesn't operate like everybody's, and I did watch some old documentaries about John Wayne Gacy. And if I recall correctly, maybe my mind is incorrect, but I think it's a typical Chicago brick rambler style house that's kind of a tan type brick. And I think of John Wayne Gacy every time I see one of the pictures of those houses. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, although it is no longer because it was leveled. And now it's a different style house and worth about 10 times as much as Gacy ever paid. But yeah, you have to picture this neighborhood. It was a very blue collar, you know, but nice neighborhood, and the homes were close together. So the idea that this horrendous torture and murder and rape was going on a daily basis, sometimes he would abduct three boys in one night. So this was a guy who had all this energy, was doing all these good things on one hand, and then had this compartmentalized part of his brain that would do these horrific things. It defies logic. It's similar to the Gilgo Beach murder,
right,
which you may be familiar with and your listeners may be. They're very parallel in how they compartmentalized their lives.
Well, we had an old saying that criminals don't walk around with signs saying, hey, I'm a criminal. And they some people like John Wayne Gacy, other ones work really hard to fit in. But if we look, you said all the signs were there. When someone is too perfect almost, it makes me very concerned.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that. I mean, he had been convicted of trying to sodomize a young man in Iowa many years before and served time. And another young man escaped from his torture and reported it to the police, and the police dropped charges. And there was another kid who disappeared, and they were following up, and then they never brought charges. So there were six or seven things. I recount these in my book, and you kind of wonder what was going on. Now, back then in the 70s, we didn't have CODIS. We didn't have the ability to tie missing boys to bodies like we do now. But it just seems like, looking back, he should have been apprehended a lot sooner.
You would think that if all the warning signs were there and we had prior incidents of criminal behavior, that would lead to red flags. But you made a great point. And post 9/11, look, I worked in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, which neighbored up to the district I worked in. We couldn't even talk. Their police and the state police, we couldn't talk. We were on totally different frequencies, different radios, different equipment. A lot of change has been made. You would think that nowadays, it's a lot harder, in my opinion, to get away being a serial killer. They still exist, though.
No, I totally agree with you. And people do put things together. And now we know that if someone is a pedophile or has that predilection, that they don't stop doing it. There's not this idea that we're going to put him in jail for 3 years and now he's going to come out and be okay. We know that that's false. We know that they can't rewire or unwire themselves.
No, so we're going to take a short break. We're talking with Karen Conti, Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team, which we'll talk about in depth. There's so much more to the story you've not heard. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. One of the questions I get all the time is, how can I show my support for law enforcement? We're all busy. We've got busy lives, but there's something oh so simple you can do with our Facebook page. Search for Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show Facebook page. And when you see a post you agree with that resonates with you, share it, especially episodes of the podcast. To do all that, just search for us on Facebook. Look for Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and be sure to click like. return our conversation with Karen Conti, Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team. She handled the appeal of his death sentence. Website, still practicing lawyers, ContiDolanLaw.com. Author of the book, Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, defending America's most evil serial killer, which we'll talk about at length, and host of the Karen Conti radio show, which is on a prominent radio station, which I would love to be a part of, that covers most of the upper Midwest. Karen, we had a chance to meet a little bit at Creative Con, which is in the Chicago area. And I was very impressed with a talk you gave. And one of the things you said in the talk was the negative blowback you got from all facets of society because you were the lawyer that was handling the defense of not his trial, not his criminal conviction, of the death penalty. It's not like you're trying to get him out of jail. You knew what he was like. Can you briefly explain what some of that blowback was?
Well, I was on a team of four lawyers, and I was the only female. Actually, I was the only female for 14 years who represented Gacy. And I think they focused on me maybe because they thought they had a weak target because women may be
perceived to be. I want to tell you right now, you're not the one. I'm just, my wife says I'm not the one. You're not weak.
No, I'm not. But, you know, 30 years ago, maybe there was a perception of me being a young female lawyer. I don't know what it was, but there were death threats. There was a bomb threat in my building that caused several floors to be evacuated. I still get death threats. I still get strange mailings. Neighbors came over and protested. I got thrown out of a restaurant. Even judges who you would think would understand why we were representing somebody, you know, to save his life, shunned me and said terrible things in open court. Clients quit. So, yeah, there was huge blowback. And during that time, it was a very stressful time. And I don't know why I didn't anticipate it. I knew this wasn't going to be pleasant, but I had no idea that people weren't going to just understand that everyone deserves a defense. But Gacy is just the exception to everything because he's so horribly evil, and he was just unrepentant. You know, there was nothing about him that was pathetic. There was nothing about him that was damaged that you could see, and he was arrogant, and he was disliked and hated.
Well, that pretty much sums it up. It's not like he had some good redeeming social qualities that you can think of.
No. And, you know, I used to say, and I said in my book, at least Jeffrey Dahmer had the grace to be pathetic, you know.
Yeah.
And Gacy just was out there with his 900 numbers. He was selling his artwork, which is horrible, and he's making money on it. And, you know, this guy was hated by everybody.
Ever since then, maybe it was before, I've had a thing about clowns. And it's not like I'm afraid of clowns, but I don't like clowns, and I don't like people who dress up as clowns. And that was one of his big calling cards, was the whole clown outfit. And what's the old saying, Karen, about the sadness of the clown? I never quite got that feeling from John Wayne Gacy. Now, granted, that was a long time ago. Am I way off base on that one?
Well, it was really weird that he liked dressing up as a clown, and many people think that's how he lured young boys, and that's just not the case. He never did that. He wouldn't have been able to do that. He was able to do 33 murders, and probably more in my view, because he was so normal, and he looked like your favorite uncle. But I think there's something to dressing up as a clown where you're covering up who you really are, and you have access to people in a different persona, and I think that was part and parcel of his compartmentalizing his different parts of his life. It was certainly creepy. He loved it. And it was just an odd part of his personality.
You said in this conference, when you gave your talk, that this guy was convicted of murdering three baseball teams. And that really hit me between the ears with the gravity of the situation. When you say he killed upwards of 30, 33, 34 people, I don't know about you, but I'm like, oh, that sounds like a lot of talk. But when you say three baseball teams, that's pretty profound.
It really is. And, you know, he as I say, he was good at his badness. He was very, very, he was able to live two lives, parallel lives. I mean, John, his wife was living and sleeping with him while the bodies were underneath the crawl space, and it was just, how do you understand that? How do you begin to understand that?
I don't know. And to be totally honest with you, I can't get away with nothing in my house. And my wife is mad at me sometimes. I have no idea why. To this day, I still don't know why. But I think part of the way, if and this is going back into memory banks, didn't some neighbors notice an odd smell, or someone coming to his house notice an odd smell of decomposing bodies?
Well, there was a point in time where a young man, the very last victim, disappeared with Gacy, and the parents were all over it. And police officers went over there and could smell something. And, you know, police officers know what the smell of death is. It's that sickening, sweet smell that was covered up with lye. And so that was one of the reasons that they kept on him, because they still didn't believe that Gacy was a person who could take somebody out of a store while the mother waited in the car for this poor kid, take him home, and within an hour he was tortured, raped, and murdered. I mean, who can do that in broad daylight?
And
he did it.
We're not talking about youngsters. We're not talking about, you know, toddlers. We're talking about teenagers.
Yes.
14, 15, 16, up to 19 years of age, if my memory's correct.
That's correct. And they were from all walks of life. A lot of people said they were all runaways or prostitutes. That's just not true. There were people there who went to his house to get work. They wanted to work, and Gacy promised them a good hourly rate. You know, so these are kids who wanted to make their lives better. And Gacy promised those things, and that's how he lured them in.
And this just goes to an observation on my part, that these people are so practiced at what they do that it you really don't see it coming, because they have, let's just say, 33 people, all sucker punched, all killed. Someone had to notice. One got away that we know of.
That's right.
This guy, John Wayne Gacy, really was practiced. Were you prepared for that kind of mental practice that he had for his whole shtick?
The issue is, when you meet him, you know, he doesn't look like something from a Halloween movie.
And who does?
Who does? Otherwise, it would have been one and done. But Gacy was engaging. He was charming. He was glib. And I know nobody likes to hear this, because nothing's funny about what he did, but he was very humorous. And he would tell jokes, and he would, you know, he had some social skills that really put you on, you know, let your guard down with him. And that was all part of his enticement. You know, if he had a terrible personality, again, nobody would have thought twice about investigating him.
Look, I see these TV movies, and he's made for TV movies, and most of the time, it's so stereotypical. I want to go back to something we said earlier, and you said John Wayne Gacy did not look the part. Most criminals do not look the part, and as a matter of fact, most killers do not look the part. Most pedophiles don't look the part. The ones that do, drug dealers. They tend to look the part because they work hard to look like a drug dealer, which makes our job a whole lot easier.
That's really well said. Yeah, Gacy was not even tall. You know, he was 5'9". You know, all the movies that make him look like Brian Dennehy was in that one movie, you know, super tall. No, this guy was so unimposing. He'd be your favorite uncle, the bus driver who talked to you and said good morning every day. That's the kind of dude he was.
I don't get the impression you felt overmatched mentally by this guy.
No, but he was manipulative, and he was very good at diverting your attention and manipulating you. And if you let him do that, it didn't turn out well. So I kind of was able to manipulate him back, which is what you do with sociopaths. I'm sure you've handled a number of sociopaths in your career.
We're talking with Karen Conti, Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team. She's a practicing attorney. Website is ContiDolanLaw.com. That's spelled ContiDolanLaw.com. And author of the book Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer. And she's a radio host. When we return, we're going to talk more about the personal impact of defending John Wayne Gacy.
One of the questions I get all the time is, how can I show my support for law enforcement? We're all busy. We've got busy lives, but there's something oh so simple you can do with our Facebook page. Search for Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show Facebook page. And when you see a post you agree with that resonates with you, share it. Look for Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and be sure to click like.
This is Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Be sure to follow the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast on the Newsbreak app. Newsbreak is your number one local news app for current events, free live news for you and your community. Download the Newsbreak app today for free and be sure to follow the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast on the Newsbreak app. Return conversation on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show with Karen Conti, Chicago area lawyer, part of the John Wayne Gacy defense team, practicing attorney. Website is ContiDolanLaw.com. That's spelled ContiDolanLaw.com. Author of the book Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, defending America's most evil serial killer, and a host of the Karen Conti Radio Show that is in the Chicago area, broadcast over much of the upper Midwest. You are very well accomplished, and I'm flashing back to you being a young attorney out of law school, hearing the story on the radio, deciding you want to get involved, get the call, you show up, you go to the prison, you visit John Wayne Gacy. And did anything prepare you for what was going to happen next?
No, not really. But, you know, I look back, and I'm glad I wrote the book later, well after it happened, because now I have the perspective that when I was curious just to go down there and look evil in the eye, and then when I said yes, because it was an opportunity that I couldn't pass up, I realized those were the right decisions. And I will use the analogy, if you're a runner, and I'm a runner, so I like to run marathons. If I were a mountain climber, I'd want to climb Mount Everest. This was the ultimate challenge, the most guilty, the most unrepentant, and this was the person who I was able to defend. And it was an important thing to do for me. I think it was important for the cause. It was important for my development. And even though Gacy was executed without any stays of execution, I think I got my message out. And I think it was important for me, a person who was upstanding in the community, to stand up for someone who wasn't. I'm proud of myself, if I can say that, and I'm glad I did it.
I'm glad you did, too. And next question is, you know, it's really easy to sit there and say, and I was wondering this myself, were you invited to be part of the defense team because you're attractive female, or was it because of your reputation?
I don't know about me being attractive because I wasn't.
Let's just admit it. Some people have this thing where it's like, oh, yeah, well, if she wasn't a female, they wouldn't have her.
No, that was not part of it. But I argued before the U.S. Supreme Court with my law partner a few years earlier. And Gacy knew that for some reason and knew that we had experience with those kinds of appeals. And that was more why he contacted us.
Oh.
Not because I was attractive, because, again, he was playing for the other team.
And by the way, yes, he was. By the way, back then, that was like the 70s to the early 80s. Was he executed? For some reason, I'm thinking 1984.
He was executed in 1994.
1994. I was off by 10 years.
He was convicted in like the 1979, sentenced to death, and he spent 14 years on death row.
This is all before the advent of the internet, and before we saw pictures of what people looked like. It wasn't like it is now. So the fact that he reached out to you, or his people reached out to you, was that kind of like an ego thing for you, where you're like, wow, I all of a sudden, I was thinking about this, now I'm part of it?
Maybe a little bit, but I think curiosity was the overwhelming piece.
Gotcha.
And yeah, you're right. But Gacy, because he was making certain amounts of money when prison, he had his, and you know, when you're a serial killer like that, you can command respect. He had all these people around him who would do his bidding. So they were doing research on the outside. They were talking to people. So it was a whole thing. Gacy commanded like a group of people who would do his bidding for various, reasons. And it was very odd, very, very odd. But yeah, I suppose there's ego involved, but it was just mostly overwhelming curiosity.
You mentioned earlier about all the negative blowback you got from defending him, from defense attorney, other attorneys, lawyers, restaurant owners, you name it. But eventually the tide changed. Did you notice that people took attention to your work on this case and other cases?
Well, what happened was, John, when he was executed, everyone was relieved. You know, there was no more idea that he was going to continue to live or get out of prison, which was never obviously part of my defense strategy, nor would it ever be. But after that, O.J. Simpson took a ride about 30 days later. And because I had done all these interviews, I was called by CNN and by Fox and MSNBC and to do all this commentary. So my commentary started, being sought after by other outlets. And that led to my radio show. It led me to be a law professor. To teach a death penalty class. I had one case and I became an expert in the death penalty. So all of these positive things happened, but only after Gacy was executed and people were relieved that he wasn't an issue anymore.
Well, it sounds like he paid your dues. I want to counter something. There's not this overnight success thing. It's not like you were a lawyer, you're fresh out of law school, you handle this case, and all of a sudden, boom, you're big time. It took a while and a lot of hard work to get to where you're at.
Well, and this is for your listeners. If you are handed an unusual opportunity, whether it's in your job or whatever, you do it well. I got PR people to tell me how to speak. I had lessons. I learned how to put makeup on the right way for television. I learned how to do sound bites. I researched my interviewers. So I was so prepared. I had all of the statistics for the death penalty at my tongue, and I was really very prepared. I'm not saying I was great, but I was as good as I could possibly have been. And then that was parlayed into the next part of my career. And I suggest to everybody, when you have the opportunity to say yes, be prepared. You're never going to be the smartest, the most articulate, or the best looking, but you can be the most prepared.
And I always say this, no one's going to outwork me. And I would venture a guess that no one's going to outwork you. And I just going back to my story, when I retired from police work, I was devastated mentally, emotionally, physically. I'm physically disabled, all those things. And I started in radio in 1999. So lots of hard work and lots of great instructors along the way. You mentioned getting preparation, learning how to put makeup on the right way, learning how to speak a certain way. All those things come into play. It's not an overnight success thing. And my hat's off to you. I got to ask you this. At what point did you decide, I'm going to write a book about this?
Well, John, I've always thought about it. I always wanted to. I'm an avid reader. I read about 100 books a year, mostly nonfiction. But I have to say, I always wanted to write it. And finally, three production companies, all in a short period of time, came to me. They had seen me on a documentary about Gacy, and they wanted to do a story about me. And I kind of was like, I don't want to be made to look stupid or silly or whatever. And so an agent told me, Karen, write your book. And then if you decide you want it to be made into a docuseries or a docudrama, then at least you have that option, but you have your story out there. And that happened during COVID. So I had some extra time during COVID and I sat down and I realized I really loved the process. I love that creative process of writing things. And it's not just, the book is not just about Gacy. It's not about the crimes per se. It's about my interactions with him and my career and how that played into it and how other people viewed it. And it's more about empowerment, really, about people taking adverse things in their lives and coming out resilient and more well-rounded. And so it's not just for true crime people. I think people, young people who might be motivated to take on a cause would really like my book.
The name of the book is Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer. I'm sure it's going to be available online and wherever books are sold and most retailers as well. I've got to ask you this, Karen. You are an incredible person. The fact that you do everything you do, being a defense attorney, being an active attorney, hosting a radio show, Karen Conti's radio show, authoring the book Killing Time with John Wayne Gacy, Defending America's Most Evil Serial Killer. Then you throw wind in the mix, I read about 100 books a year. Come on, girl, you're making me look like a slacker here.
I'm a fast reader.
Oh, my. And then you get up early and you prepare. You read all these things just in case. Again, I've got to say this. If you're given the opportunity to come on a radio show, tell your story, or get some national exposure, be prepared. Don't let someone outwork you. How important, in closing, how important do you think it is to work hard and be prepared?
It's everything. And I learned that too in my business. And when you think it's all Perry Mason moments, right, in court, no, everything is prepared. You know exactly what you're doing. You have it scripted. You've practiced it. You prepared it. You're ready to go. And that is what you want in a lawyer. That's what you want in an accountant, right, or anything you do in life. Being prepared for all the things that could happen is easy, because then you have some semblance of control.
What's the old saying? That luck favors those who are prepared and put in the hard work. Karen Conti, thanks so much for all you do, and thanks for being a guest on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. All very much appreciated.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'd like to thank our guests for coming on the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show. The Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show is a nationally syndicated weekly radio show broadcast on numerous AM and FM radio stations across the country. We're always adding more affiliate stations. If you enjoyed the podcast version of the show, which is always free, please do me a favor and tell a friend or two or three. I'll be back in just a few days with another episode of the Law Enforcement Talk Radio Show and podcast. Until then, this is John J. Wiley. See ya.